session number 28896, Real 8.
Mr. Blewett, Real 8. Did they, or could they, insist on a high standard of turnout living in these conditions?
Well, it was up to you to keep yourself clean. There was only one time, and it was after we got out the stables and when we moved into different conditions. And there was this happened just the once. Used to get inspected as such. You'd say to somebody, "Have you got washed today? Like you please smell." You know, and there was one bloke, and he was in our section. Well, it wasn't in our section, but he was in our locality, and he was obviously never used to, he was always first out for breakfast, first out. So never seen him get washed. And anyway, there was one day somebody must have mentioned it, and we didn't know exactly what had happened until they marched him off. So that we had a bit, by this time we had a wash house with tin things, you know, a tap at the top, pipe at the top with taps, cold water. And they marched him out. These about four corporals took him out and scrubbed him. And when I say scrubbed him, they had scrubbing brushes, and he got stripped off, and we hear his howls of protest. And he was another one that got sent on to another company. He used to get scabies, you see, when, you know, we're not washing himself and all that. And once that, if he'd got somebody in the next to him, carry on, I think, that complained about him. And he got scrubbed. That was the only one in the army that I ever seen it get scrubbed.
And you've said that you had to shave, obviously, and you had to keep clean.
Well, I started to shave, yes, and then.
Did you have a parade where you turned out in your battle dress and all your brasses shining and so forth? Did you have many of that kind of parade?
Not really.
You're very much a working unit, weren't you?
Well, we were. That's it. You couldn't get them all on parade. There's a few times that, when all the lorries had gone out on detail, and those that were left doing details round the camp, somebody may get the bright idea of having a parade then and march you up and down the yard. But there wasn't such, you know, it was few and far between when the whole company was on parade. I remember they did have one once, when they were supposed to get us in a bit fitter. We were driving around the lorries all day, you see, get idle, so they would get you fitter. And I remember this was when we were at Kirkbank, and they marched us down the drive to the main road, which was about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and away around the countryside. And we must have did about 8 miles, absolutely shattered, like the soft. And we stopped. Well, we had one or two little stops, but we did about 8 to 10 miles and stopped. And then when we got there was lorries there to pick us up and take us back. And when we got back, he had us all on parade again. He said, "You've had it lucky today, you know. You want to think on the infantry, they do this regular. You're getting lazy with sitting in lorries, driving. I'm going to have more of these in the future." But we never did. Never did that. I think they must have thought. I mean, we were fit in one respect. We didn't do the marching. We were, for me, personally, I was always first channel playing football or something like that. But most of the lads were. and running around and whatnot. They'd have like a sports day. We had one once. I can't remember when it was. When they invited relatives to go, they had the sports day on a Sunday. But that was a few years later on.
You didn't have PET every morning, did you?
Again, I was supposed to. but this was a bit later on. This was after we'd come back. And we were living in huts then, you know, from Louth to Scarborough and then back to Kirkman. And we had mission huts then, when we had beds and everything then. And then they used to get you outside for PT.
A Swedish drill type of thing.
Sorry?
Like a Swedish drill, I think, the PT.
Yeah, yeah.
Arms and
physical training, arms, legs, and jumping about. Even that was a bit of a farce. I remember one lad in the company, he'd had an accident previous to joining the army, come off a motorbike, and he's bald-headed. He skidded along, I think, on it long before the time they had crash helmets. And it left him bald. And then they used to come in on a morning, the NCOs would bang on the doors when it was reveille, maybe about 6:30. Outside for PT, if you were over 45, I think, 40 or 45, you were excused. Well, this lad used to peep out from his blankets, just show his bald head and say, 45. George Martin, I remember. I think he emigrated to Canada after the war. George Martin.
You had some quite older troops, older people.
Oh, yeah. We were the young uns. I forget what the age was, the oldest one, but when they'd say over 45, I think they were mostly people who did jobs around the camp. Cookhouse stuff and whatnot. When I say cookhouse stuff, I mean cleaning up tins, dishes and whatnot for the cooks. Maybe one or two working round the officers' mess and sergeants' mess and whatnot. There wasn't a lot of older men.
Did you get any ATS ladies at any
no,
time?
No, not at that time. When we used to go to camp, we didn't have any in our company. But when we used to go to gun sites, we used to find that there were ATS were there and searchlights that found the ATS were on them. But we didn't have any in our company at that time. I think afterwards. We heard that our 239 had been more or less turned into a ATS company, you know. But we weren't around to see it then.
What other duties did you give you in these early days? We're talking about the early days still. But, you know, additional duties to your driving and maintenance and so on.
Well, in addition to the driving, you had your guard duties, of course, fire picket duties. Supposed to go around and if there's any fires on, you were had to attend to them, which was nonsensical in one way because you never had no equipment to do it. It's a fire bucket, that's in a bucket of sand. Going around picking paper up around the camp, which was a bore, painting white stones around the guard room. Helping out sometimes with on the parade on the morning after your the drivers had all gone and whatever, and so many had gone down to look after the wagons. They pick you out like a party of four, go and clean the officers' quarters, another four go and clean the sergeant's quarters, and another little good little job was a billet orderly. Used to get one per day, so I used to take it in turns to do that, sweep up and clean up round. And they used to have a big in the Nisnut, there was a big store in the middle. You used to have to keep that polished for when the orderly officer come round. So once he'd been round at about 11 o'clock on the morning and it was passed, now that was your finish for the day, that was all right. You couldn't leave camp, but that was your finish. You weren't allowed to go and lay on your bed, anything like that. And you also were liable to get picked on. Something might crop up. So the orderly corporal or the orderly NCO used to come round. He wanted five or six men to do a job. And if you used to always keep your eye open for him coming to dodge out the back. Otherwise, if the old saying was into bed or out of barracks to keep out of the road. But just more or less generally to keep place tidy.
How was the guard mounted? Was it a...
Well, it wasn't a big thing, but it was a parade. In them days, you had three men and a guard commander. And you used to do from 6 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock next morning. Two on, two off. Three of you. Used to take over from the regimental police that were there on during the day, and they were doing more or less the same two on and two off, just at the gate. I mean, it was silly really, because anybody wanted to come in, they could just bypass the gate and come in round the back. But that was it. So you had to go on in full dress, tin hat, rifle, full dress, march, get inspected by the orderly officer, and then march down to the gate, which wasn't very far away. They had also had a hut for the guard with a couple of beds, and also like a detention cell. Never ever saw anybody in that. Used to just go down and whoever was on, like 6 till 8, the first shift, that was always a good shift because there was something to do 6 till 8. And then you also had 6 till 8, 8 till 10, 10 till 12. Then you were on again at 12 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning, which was like, you could get your head down in the guard room. You had to be remain dressed all the time, except for your boots. We used to take boots off, just have them loose handy in case anybody could call out. And then the last shift, they didn't used to. They used to wait until when the 6 o'clock lot were on. The whole guard used to come out and stand waiting for the regimental police to come down and take over, and they'd come down with an officer of the day, and used to present arms to them, and they used to do the same back. They used to take over, and you used to march back, get up to the ground, up to the parade ground, which is in front of the house, and just get this to your duties dismissed.
And you went immediately into duties. You didn't
You very rarely were going out on a lorry. If you're on guard, you got some other menial task to do, but you didn't do them straight. You know, you didn't go out on a lorry straight away. Although, having said that, there was one time I was on guard, and I come back, and I think it was a mishap or something, although I don't know what it was, but there was short of a driver anyway, and I had to go out straight away, had my breakfast, and then go out straight away, and it was conditions like these, frosty, and we're driving along. I think I was going down to Norton Mobstore, and for some reason I was tired, and I just dozed off. And that the first thing I knew, I hit the curb on the side of the road, you know, woke me up with a bump. And so I was really alert after that until I'd finished the job. But when I come back, I told this sergeant in our hut, I said, I hope we're not going to have to do that every time. I said, yeah. I said, I fell asleep on the road this morning. Fell asleep. I said, yeah, I just come off guard. So whether he reported it around or whatnot. So after that, if you were on guard, it was more or less recognised that you just got a job in the camp. You didn't do any.
Was there a high turnout for the guard demanded by the officers?
No. Just keep out the road in case one of the guards fell ill. No.
When you were driving around the countryside, were you still subject to the same laws as the civilian drivers for speed limits and this kind of thing?
Well, I got pulled up by the regimental police, the Red Caps, military police, actually, not the regimental police, the military police. I never saw any police cars. There was no such thing as police cars. Now, there might have been police cars, but we never know. It was just the military police that used to have to watch out for. And I got caught speeding.
So they kept you down to the law?
To a 30-mile limit, yeah, yeah. But the... I was just trying to remember there. There was just outside Croft. This is Kirkbank again, and I was in. I'd got a stripe by this time, and I was in charge of a section of a driving school. And the sergeant major said to me, "We could do with some gravel. It's to do with the parade. Outside the house." It was getting a bit muddy in place. It was due with some gravel. And he said, I just happened to notice in between Croft, the village at Croft just outside Darlington, and our place, he said, there's big piles of gravel on the side of the road, obviously for the same reasons that we wanted it. And he said, when you go out with your section today, see if you can get one or two shovelfuls. So I said, right, put a couple of spades on, and we went down. After we'd finished our little driving lesson, we went down and I found this, and turned round ready for a hasty getaway, and we piling these stones on, took them back. Oh, he said, that champion, that's just what we want. He said, is the plenty? Oh, I said, yes, there's a few more there. Like, when you're out tomorrow, see what you can do tomorrow. I went down again, same procedure. And halfway through, here's a Bobby on his bike pulls up. Oh, then, what do you think you're doing? Oh, I said, oh, just taking a few of these. I said, where we are billeted, I said, it's just a bit of mud. I said, we're just taking that. Is it yours? I said, no, it's ours. It's the council's property, this, he said, and you were taking it away, like. I'll have to take your name and number and all that else. I can't give you that. I said, it's war procedure. I can't give you. He said, well, I said, I can give you my name. I said, but I can't give you the company name. Or whereabouts. So anyway, well, Don't let me catch you doing this again. I said, oh, I won't. Like, anyway, when I went back, I told the CSM about this. I said, if he's not daft, he'll have seen the number plate on the back of the wagon. I said, so if he puts two and two together, he's bound to find out. I said, so if you get a phone call about somebody pilfering with the stones, I said, you know who to blame. Now he said, oh, forget it, you know. There's a war on. So I never heard no more about it, but I never had to go and get any more in case he was watching again.
How did you get on with the local population?
Very well. There was always there was always one or two. Well, at the start, it was one or two snide remarks about the weekend soldiers and all that. Like, but once the war started, it just blended in with everything else. If you could help them out in any way, you did. And when I say help them out, this is when the rations started. So if anybody had any rations that were going free, you used to take them home to your mother, or if you weren't home. We were fortunate in the fact that we were living just outside Darlington. Some of them were from Scarborough, some from Scotland, all over the place. But somebody had maybe win something. And it got into a routine where my mother never used to go do a shopping until I'd come home on the weekend, see if I'd got anything for her. And invariably, I was very friendly with a chap, a butcher in the mob store at North Allerton. And he was living in Darlington. And I used to see him. And, all right, George, are you going home this weekend? No, I can't get home this weekend. Will you take this round for me mother? You know, little bit of meat. And there's the one for you. So I used to go call in my mother, there's your joint. So she was happy, you know. I used to take the other one up for George's mother. And he used to get, you had to be back at camp on the night. It wasn't as if you were getting a weekend pass or anything. Just the only time I ever nearly got caught, as I say, this is when detachment at North Allerton, and I'd been sent on detachment to North Allerton, living in a tennis pavilion. And the United, when I got me pass for the day, on the United bus, and I had these two joints, and it was a hot day at the time, pulls into Darlington, and there was always military police all over the place in Darlington that time, and these were just wrapped up in newspaper model, and it started bleeding. I thought, no, where can I go off the bus with this bit of meat in my hand? And when there was conductors in them days, on the girl conductors, and with going to the dance and whatnot, I just happened to know this one, and I said to her, I said, I can't go off the bus. I said, here, bit of meat for you at home, take home. She was over the moon. It was all. I didn't get off the bus with the meat, so when I goes home, and my mother said, I've got nothing this week. I said, no. Oh, she was a bit put out because she had to go and use the stuff. And George's wife, George's mother, I had to go up and tell her and all.
I suppose overall, there must have been quite a bit of that kind of thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Supplies disappearing.
Yeah.
Then how they were accounted for.
The, like I say, in the RASC, my father used to say, oh yes, I remember them, rob all serving comrades, was the saying that they had then, and I suppose it still went on. You know, just, if you seen anything lying around, you just got it. Never thought anything about it. We didn't think we were stealing from anybody, we were just helping out with other people.
Did they invite you into their homes, the local people?
Not really.
As you say, you were near home anyway.
Yeah, well, I was all right. I was at home at the time anyway. North Allerton, I was just in the detachment there. And I was invited into home there just for a cup of tea and what. You didn't expect to be given you anything to eat and anything like that. Just a cup of tea. So. Nothing elaborate there. I always remember we were carrying sacks of sugar and flour, and we finished up with some flour, some sugar, a sack of sugar I'm talking about, like this. And a lad called Tommy Parks, he lived in Brinkburn Road, he's still alive, Tommy, in Brinkburn Road, and his mother and father, the house there, and he used to have steps right up, you know, maybe about 12 steps, 15. So he said, I was working with him on this lorry. I said, well, we're all right to do it, Tommy. Bag of sugar. I think we had two bags of sugar. Or one was flour or whatever. Anyway, I went round to my mother's. I said, bang on the front door. Get the back door open. And I went round the back. Lord, get this sack. Sack of sugar. I'm sure it was sugar. Put it in the back yard. And then we went up to Tommy's house. And I always remember I was driving, Tommy was at the back unloading it. And gets it on his shoulder, goes up the steps, and he's knocking on the door like his mother come to the door. And she said, what's that? And he said, a bag of sugar, eh? And she said, I don't want it, I don't want it. And she had his hands up in front of her. I don't want it, take it away, take it away. Tommy said, come on, don't be so guilt. I don't want it. And he had to stagger back down the steps, throw it on the back, and away again. My mother never refused it because, apart from the fact she had a big family, she had a lot of friends, and it just got distributed out, you know. I mean, obviously couldn't use a sack of sugar.